Evening.
Good to see you all.
I'll turn this one on. Yes, good evening, everybody. Good to see you all. I have to say, because some people, we're now recording our sermons and they're up on the website. So if you want to hear again what was said in any of our services, you can log on and you can listen to them. Even I think if you all you need is a smartphone, it just streams it live and you can listen to what's been said. But for the benefit of the people who are listening, I'll just say that the passages that Keith read already tonight were from Matthew 26 and from John chapter 14, so I'll be referring to them tonight. We're dealing with death, as you know, as we've been looking at, as we've been talking about already tonight. And really, you know, Denise was saying about something unimaginable happening. Yes, well, death is one of those things that we try not to think about. Yeah, John was saying in our introduction, it is one of those topics that we all have concerns and worries about and fears about, and yet we don't really talk about it. We talk about all sorts of things. We talk about all the silly things that we're worried about, but when it comes to serious things like that, very often it's one we avoid. And I think maybe even part of that is, you know, we live in a world that tries to avoid death, tries to avoid the topic of death. It's almost as if death is an unreal thing. You know, that's for other people. It's not for us. You know, we'll be all right as long as we smell good. Or, you know, we'll be all right as long as we don't have any wrinkles on our face. You know, we'll be all right as long as we've got the fastest broadband in the street. You know, those are the important things that we need to worry about. Death is not really a reality. And that's why I have, under Taddy's sound guidance, come to love funerals. He's always been banging on about how great funerals are, but I've come to appreciate them. Because you see, for those 30 minutes, there's not a person at the funeral who can escape the subject of death. For those 30, and there's some people, and you can see them sort of twisting in their seat. They're dying just to get out so that they can start worrying about sensible things again and don't have to confront death. But funerals are great because for those 30 minutes, people have no escape from the topic of death. And that is good. And it's sometimes good to ask ourselves, how does that make us feel? How does the subject of death make us feel? Does it make us feel uncomfortable? Do our minds really just want to quickly flip to something else? Because so often we suppress the thoughts of death so much that they become like subconscious and we don't like them coming to the surface. And so funerals and the likes, even me speaking now about death can make us uncomfortable. But it's good to address these things at least every so often. Well, one of the words in the title to our sermon series is worry. And really, you know, if you want to worry about something, I think death is a pretty good thing to be worried about. But worry, it's often linked with things that we're afraid of. And again, if you want to be afraid of something, you know, forget the spiders, think about death. Death is something that is very often linked with fear. And that's because fear is all about things we can't control. We're always afraid, or generally, we're afraid of things we can't control. Or we're afraid we'll be looking at the future, being worried about the future. It's when we're afraid of things that are uncertain, that we can't predict the outcome. You know, that's why we take out insurance. It's in case all these uncertainties happen. You know, we have car insurance in case we crash our car. We have house insurance in case something happens. We like to try to cover all the bases. We like to protect ourselves against all these uncertainties. So we don't need to worry about crashing our car because we're insured. It's okay. We don't need to worry about somebody stealing our DVD player. It's all right. We've got insurance. We try to cover all these things so that we're not afraid of them. And it takes away some of the uncertainties. But when it comes to death, there is, on the face of it, nothing we can do about it. You know, I'm going to use this door as my example. We always talk about people being at death's door. Well, this is death's door here. I pity Jimmy, who's going in to make the tea and coffee later. You'll be the first person to walk through death's door tonight. Yes, is it going to be death's door? Oh, it's just to sort of give us something visual for us to look at as we think about death, because when we think about death, we think of all sorts of other things apart from actually dying. You maybe think about the means of death or people who have died, but we want to look at actually dying. And really, we have virtually no control over when this is going to happen. But the other thing is, we have no idea what lies on the other side of this door. From a physical point of view, from an experiential point of view. None of us has experienced going through this door. Not a single person here. You can go through all of Bangor. You can go through all of Northern Ireland. You will not find anyone who's been through that door and come back and tell you what it's like. Apart from we've had a reference to a few people who've had near-death experiences and the like. But by and large, it's a one-way door, this. And there's uncertainties involved in that. That is where the fear of death comes from. The uncertainties of what's going to happen to me. I'm not going to do it, Jimmy. I'm going to let you do it. What's going to happen when I go through this door? What lies, when people say about what lies on the other side of death? What lies on the other side of this door? It is something that is a natural thing for us to be afraid of, because it is something that holds a lot of uncertainties. It is something that we have no control over. I think Taddy in his prayer there, as he was praying for the community, he's talking about people in our communities who even in the past week have attempted suicide, and people who have, perhaps, not, we're not sure, have taken their own lives. Because the fear of death has been outweighed by the fear of living. Isn't that quite a sad society? It's a sad world that we live in. That the fears of life go beyond the fears of death. You know, death is the one that we shouldn't be afraid of. Life. Life is for living through all its difficulties. But death is the one thing that we could be afraid of. It's the supreme thing to worry about. And I suppose then it becomes a supreme title for our sermon series on why pray when you can worry. Because what is there more that we should be worried about than death? Well, I chose for my readings tonight, I chose the one in Matthew. It was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you see even in Jesus the fear of death. He's not worried about it. But there's the thought of going through the door of death. He's sorrowful. Now, he has got other things to be sorrowful for, because he knows the kind of death he's going to suffer. And it's a death beyond any... You know, we may fear the kind of death we're going to suffer, but it'll be nothing to the kind of death that Jesus suffered. And you see, the thing that always annoys me is people always portray Jesus as being a bit namby-pamby. You know, you see it in the movies. He's all just sort of so serene, and he almost seems a bit feeble at times. But here was the one man who didn't have to walk through this door, and he chose to walk through this door. This was the one man who didn't deserve death. He wasn't guilty. He didn't have to die. And the one man who chose death. He's the one man who looked death in the eye. And he said, I am going to defeat ye. Like when you think, Jesus was not man, a real namby-pamby here. Jesus was strong. He was, if you would... If I can put it this way, he was fierce in the face of death. Not to say that it didn't, because no one had ever done this before. And he was a man just like us. And he would have had the same uncertainties just like us. But he had a faith and a trust. What was the one thing that allowed him to get through this situation, facing death? Well, it was simple. He trusted God. He trusted God as his heavenly Father, and he trusted everything that his Father said to him. If his Father told him it would be all right, it would be all right. If his Father promised that he would be raised from the dead, he would be raised from the dead. You see, the opposite of fear is to trust. And you know, it's like that with my children. You know, when they're scared of something, I try to reassure them and I say, trust me. Even sometimes maybe when I shouldn't, but trust me. Get them through the crying phase, you know. But here with God, and Denise is showing us, the eternal God, the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come, the God who knows the end from the beginning, says, trust me. And that is how Jesus faced death. That's why he could say, although he said, Father, make sure I don't have to go through that door. I don't want to go through that door. Take this cup away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want. Because he trusted his heavenly Father. Let me just have a quick drink before I'll get to us. Our title is, so why pray when you can worry? We've seen that death is the ultimate thing to worry about. So why pray? Well, it is only by praying. It is only by coming to God that the fear can go. Because it's only by coming to God that the uncertainties of what lie behind that door can go. And don't be fooled. You'll not become a Christian, and the very minute you become a Christian, all of a sudden all the fear of death will just disappear completely. It's a process. As we grow as Christians, like Paul was able to say about a number of things in his letters, he said, I have become fully convinced. It's a process that we go through in our Christian life to become fully convinced of things that God says. As we trust him more, we find out just how faithful he is. And it's the same about death. We will still come with some fear and some apprehension. But the more we live with him, the more we trust him for what he says is beyond that door. But it is only by praying, it is only by coming to God as our Heavenly Father that the fear can go. Because it is only the trust that can replace the fear. And in John 14, the second passage that I read, and when Jesus says to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled, he's not talking to them about their death, he's really talking about his death and the fact that they're going to be separated from him and they're going to witness this whole thing, and he's saying, don't be troubled, don't be worried. But I'm going to take it out of context, and it could apply to us worrying about our own death too. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? Trust in God and trust also in me. And then he goes on to say, my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus, in those most famous of words, says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's almost like Jesus saying, I am the way through this door. And if you trust me, I will lead you through that door to our heavenly Father. What a wonderful promise. See, the world might say you'll be all right as long as you enjoy your life. You'll be all right as long as you smell good, you know. Something stupid. But tonight, you'll only be all right if you know God as your Heavenly Father. You'll only be all right if you trust him and you trust Jesus, the one whom he sent. It is only by trusting the promise of your Heavenly Father that your fear will be replaced by trust. So tonight, do not let your hearts be troubled. Amen.